local travel agent.
Yeah, call your local travel agent. And this is Roy Lowy. I'm back. And as I just mentioned a little while ago, I've started a diet. I don't know if it's a real diet, but I can tell you that an apple a day doesn't keep the frustration away. And we're about to be joined by Chef Tom LaPerry. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Roy. How you doing?
I'm doing terrific. As I mentioned, I decided, pre-holiday, I'd drop a little weight. But every time we chat, it's just before lunch, and I haven't eaten my apple yet. So you've got some great stuff here. And the topic that you chose was Daytona Goes Foodie. And I hope you're not going to tell us that there is more than beer, the beer, pizza, and tacos after a day at the beach or NASCAR race.
No, Roy, that's not what I'm going to tell you. I was pleasantly surprised to find numerous fine upscale dining locations, and they seem to be increasing in number and quality. It was a very pleasant surprise. Daytona offers a lot more than the beach and the International Speedway. They got the official NASCAR attraction, Museums of Arts and Sciences, Marine Science Center, the Ponce de Leon Inlet Lighthouse, and the De Leon Springs State Recreation Area.
So there are a lot of local permanent attractions.
Yes, there are.
I mean, we know about the bike races. We know about those things. But I guess one doesn't think about some of the other attractions. It's a beautiful place.
Yes, it is. But you mentioned bike races. Well, besides the bike races, they have a bike week and a Biketoberfest. They've been sort of described as Mardi Gras on wheels, where everyone comes and has a fun time. They have fine art shows, fishing tournaments, and spring break show up there, too. So it has quite a bit of activity.
Now, you stayed at the Perry's Ocean Edge Resort, I understand.
That's correct. I stayed there, and it was right on the beach. The sunrise, sunset walks were wonderful, and it offered me an opportunity to go out and enjoy the other pleasures of Daytona, and particularly the highly refined dining experiences.
Well, let's start with that. Why don't we start with breakfast?
Okay. Well, we'll start with Perry's Ocean Edge Resort, since they offered complimentary coffee and donuts each morning, and the unique thing was they made the donuts fresh at the resort each morning.
They had a donut machine?
They had a donut machine, and they fried them up, and they were delicious.
Boy, I love it. One of the cruises I was on had a donut machine, and, between that and the bar, I could, I just go back and forth.
We also had breakfast at the Daytona Diner. This is a Harley Davidson classic where they say the local color is as good as the food. It serves typical breakfast fare, but the unique thing about it is it's served promptly with flair by courteous, lively staff. The Harley Davidson dealer next door is one of the largest in the United States, and some of the fun things in the diner there was I was looking for the men's room, and I looked around and I only saw one door, and it said business office. So I kept walking around. I went out, walked around the building, came back in and asked the waitress. And she says, oh, no, you got to go in the business office. That's where all business is conducted.
That's terrific. So what about lunch?
At lunch, there are a lot of nice lunch places. They got the Dancing Avocado Kitchen, which is in downtown Daytona.
Great name.
Yes, and it has a combination of foods that'll keep both vegetarians and meat eaters happy. I had crab cake pasta and gazpacho.
I've never heard of crab cake pasta.
Well, it's basically a pasta toss with olive oil, butter and garlic, and a crab cake on top of it.
Great. That sounds wonderful. And gazpacho, of course, is wonderful.
Oh, it was. It was. We also went to Angel and Phillips Cafe and Chocolate Factory. The cafe was specializing in soups and salads and sandwiches for lunch. I tried a Reuben sandwich and coleslaw, and they were both excellent.
Yeah, I like Reuben.
The Chocolate Factory next door has free guided tours, and it gives you a fascinating journey into the history and how to make chocolate. Visitors can watch more than 100 different candies being made and then go to shop and ship candy home to all of their friends.
Yeah, well, you know, I found that quite interesting in that, I don't know, when I think of Daytona, I don't think of a chocolate factory, and they ship this all over the world, and I guess you got a chance to taste it, and it must be top-of-the-line chocolate.
It is top-of-the-line chocolate. It's very good, and the chocolate factory was established in 1925, and it's a must-see if you get in the area.
Now, where is it in relationship to the beach area? Is it close by, or is it in downtown?
It's in the downtown area.
Right.
You go across the beach, and then you've got, like, the little inlet canal there, and then
uh-huh.
on the other side, the old downtown area is where it's located.
Okay, fine. I got it. And then, let's see, you mentioned that Down the Hatch and Inlet Harbor Marina and Restaurant also.
Right. These are two rustic Florida seafood houses, and you can eat either lunch or dinner there. And they're on the banks of the International Waterway. I went to Down the Hatch, and they had a wonderful array of fresh local seafood. They started this with fried grouper of fingers, which was served with a tartar sauce, and the batter was light and crisp, and the tartar sauce was excellent, and the grouper were caught that morning, which was quite surprising and quite delicious.
I like a grouper fingers, and if, as you say, I think the key is, I hope you would agree, is the secret is the light batter rather than, you know, deep frying it in a heavy batter.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. A light batter enhances the taste rather than masks it.
Exactly. Yeah, good.
And then we followed that up with a couple of local favorites, a smoked fish dip, which was a cream cheese and smoked fish dip, and conch fritters, which was a typical fritter, but well-made, tasty, and crispy.
Another favorite of mine.
Yeah. And everybody goes there becomes a local since it's a local favorite.
And then you mentioned shrimp steamed, blackened, fried, and scampi.
That's right. They served us a whole array, and every one of them was excellent. They did a very good job. And the broil sea scallops followed that, and they were equally delicious. So we had a full lunch.
Now, you know, sea scallops is a very interesting dish, but I always think it scares me a little because scallops seem... what's the word I'm looking for? They just look like you could hurt them if you didn't treat them right. And they can be broiled. They can be simmered. What other ways would you do sea scallops?
You can, like you say, broiled, simmered, fried. I've had them fried with a light batter. You can do them in sauces. Wine sauces, or you can
right.
do them with...
almost anything, I guess.
Almost anything. I do some at home, and we love it, is just sear them in butter, olive oil, and garlic, and then toss olive oil and garlic and butter on pasta and serve them on top to pasta with a little Italian seasoning.
Ooh, that sounds nice. That sounds wonderful. How about dinner?
Dinner? Oh, to die. we went to Frappe's North in Ormond Beach the first night, and they offer a wonderful array of creative American cuisine. And the chef is also the owner, and he's self-taught, and the food he served was fantastic. And he did a food and wine pairing, and he started us off with a Bar Harbor lobster bisque with dashes of roasted ali and a Cambria Chardonnay to go with it.
Oh, Lord.
Excellent combination.
Lobster bisque, another favorite.
And then he followed that up with a salad made with watercress, Asian pears, fennel, red onion, chèvre cheese, champagne provincial herb emulsion, and we had a Chateau St. Michel Sauvignon Blanc to go with it. That was quite a salad, and the wine pairing was excellent. Neither of them overpowered the other.
Now, how about the horse heaven?
That was St. Michel Sauvignon Blanc Horse Heaven.
Oh, Horse Heaven, okay.
Horse Heaven was the brand name.
The brand name.
I just kind of cut it short.
Okay, I got you. Okay. Now, And then there was some tuna.
Yes, we had the black pepper seared eye tuna, which was seared on the outside and rare on the inside. It was sushi-grade tuna. It was topped with Neapolitan vinaigrette, Italian vinaigrette. And there was microgreens, and it was paired with a La Crema Pinot Noir.
Right.
I'll get it right in a minute.
I always have a problem with that one as well.
Right.
Okay, and then... Yeah, Pinot Noir. We'll get Fisher on there in this French.
Right.
He'll straighten us out.
He'll straighten us out on our enunciation.
All right, so then you had... Then there was filet mignon.
Filet mignon with gorgonzola and aged port reduction sauce with it. And we had applewood, bacon, chive, Yukon Gold mashed potatoes. And it was served with Big Horn Cabernet Sauvignon.
Now, let's just go back to the aged port reduction. Can you break that down for us?
Basically, aged port reduction is an aged port, which is typically vintage port.
Right.
And it's usually aged probably 20, 25 years, and then it's reduced with the pan drippings. And it comes up with a very nice flavor, which is the savoriness of the pan drippings and the sweetness of the port complemented quite well.
And then the meat. Yeah, that's wonderful. My stomach is growling here.
I'm getting hungry already.
And let's see. Then what came after that?
Oh, we had an espresso cream brulee with Godiva liqueur.
Godiva liqueur.
Right. That's a chocolate liqueur.
Right.
Right. And it was quite good. It was a nice pairing.
What a wonderful evening. Now, you mentioned a couple of others that you didn't. One you did and a couple you didn't. One is the Rain Supper Club, which I thought was an interesting name, and the other was the Baleen in Daytona Beach Shores.
That's correct. These were upscale dining establishments, the fine dining establishments, and several people that were with our group went to these, and they raved about the food they had. And the Baleen is the brand of the Noble House Hotel and Resort, and it was originally started at the Grove Island Resort in Coconut Grove, Miami.
Huh.
And the Rain Supper Club is one of the newer restaurants, and Chef Stacy Scott was from the Russian Tea Room and the 21 Club in New York.
Oh, there's some heavy names.
And he's at the top of his game, and he has complex flavors and sensual textures.
That almost be worth the drive just to check that out.
I would like to have checked it out, but I could only go to one that night.
And the one you did go to was the Stonewood Grill and Tavern.
No, that was another one.
You didn't get to go?
That was considered a upscale restaurant, but I found it fine dining and listed it here. I went to the La Crepe en Hot, which was fantastic.
Right.
It was a quaint little French restaurant in a Fountain Square, little two-story shopping strip. And it was rated... about as I got survey in the Florida Trend Top 200, and it's French Nouvelle Cuisine.
Fantastic.
I asked about the bouillabaisse, and the waiter, who was excellent, he was class act, he asked me if I was very hungry, and at that point I decided I would go with the house salad and drop everything else, and it was a good choice because I had to take some home.
So that sounded wonderful. Just getting back to the Stonewood for a moment, we do have one here in town. We have one in Sarasota. There are quite a number of them around, as you mentioned in your article. And Chef Tom's article is up on our site. If you go to www.ttrn.com, you can read it more in depth. And Tom, once again, terrific. Great job, great food. I'm starving. In 15 minutes, I'm going to eat my apple.
Well, good luck. I hope you enjoy it, and it takes the gnaw out of your belly.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Bye for now.
All right. Bye-bye.